Listen, guys, there's other SaaS tools out there where if you're trying to solicit feedback from users, you have to like send out an email and bribe people with like a $50 Amazon gift card. Like, please give us feedback. Please tell us what you think. We don't have that problem. We have the opposite problem. We have a tidal wave of feedback every single day. We get thousands of feature requests every single day. And so it's really, really important for us to keep our ears completely wide open.
Hey, I'm Cody Bernard, and you're listening to Getting to Market, a show that gives you an inside look into what it takes to successfully launch a new product. In each episode, we'll chat with go-to-market leaders about how they go to market, covering the tools, tactics, and tricks that they use so you can take your own product launches to the next level. My guest today is David Tibbetts, Product Marketing Manager at Notion. Today's episode is brought to you by the productlaunchmasterclass.com. This is the product launch course for product marketers that need help transforming their launches into their CEO's favorite marketing weapon. It was created by my former colleague, Dan Murphy. Dan ran product marketing at Drift and is now running brand and product marketing at Privy. Over 150 product marketers have taken the course and learned Dan's proven launch framework. You can check out their reviews of the course at theproductlaunchmasterclass.com. Now, the course normally costs $99, but because you're a listener of Getting to Market, you can get it today for only $59. All you have to do is use a promo code GETTINGTOMARKET, all one word, all caps. Again, that code is GETTINGTOMARKET, all one word, all caps. Visit theproductlaunchmasterclass.com right now to get this course. So with that, let's get into today's interview. I'm here with David Tibbetts, Product Marketing Manager at Notion. David, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Cody. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. I'm really excited to have you on. I know that whenever I go and, you know, scroll through my Twitter feed lately, I'm seeing a ton about Notion and just the general brand that you guys have built, and the word of mouth has been insane. So I'm hoping that we can shed some light into what you guys are doing, and maybe you can give us some nuggets into the tactics and all of that that help you, you know, build such an amazing company.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, I'd love to hear that.
Cool. So tell me a little bit about yourself and your role at Notion.
Yeah, so let's see. I started at Notion in 2018. And for my first year at Notion, I was on the community support team. So I think the beginning of my Notion journey was a lot of closing tickets about everything that you could possibly think of, any possible question about the product. And that first year of closing tickets, either through our in-app chat and intercom, or in more of a public way through our Twitter channel, where people also ask a lot of questions. I think that was like the best possible training that you could get, like truly understanding the product. Where do people get tripped up? What do people find confusing? What do people find delightful? So after that first 12 months on Notion's community team, I was able to transition over to the marketing side. Fast forward to today, the marketing team is 8 people. And so I'm responsible for any marketing around feature releases and just kind of generally getting people really excited about changes to the product. And to be honest, I think when I first joined the team, I didn't even realize that I was doing product marketing at first. It was more like I knew that I wanted to go to the marketing team and work alongside Camille Ricketts, the head of marketing. And so very slowly, I started to kind of take things off of her plate, so to speak. Just because she was doing anything and everything at the time. And so eventually she introduced me in an external email to someone who's like, oh, and let me introduce you to David Tibbetts, who does product marketing. And I was like, oh, I guess that makes sense as to what I do. And I just kind of fell into the seat, and I love it.
That's awesome. I think same thing happened with me. I kind of just fell into it. And I've seen so far in my career, people have come from a million different types of backgrounds. I've seen CS, I've seen sales, I've seen journalists. And actually, I think coming from any sort of like customer support or customer success role is incredibly valuable, because I know I've had firsthand experience of like jumping on the front lines, even for just like a few weeks or with a few customers. And you just learn so much about the customer that then you can bring back into your day-to-day, which is obviously like super impactful for what we do.
Couldn't agree more. And even before I joined Notion, I mean, even a few years ago, I was serving tables. I've worked in the hospitality and service industry, like very, very customer facing for many, many years. Even when I started in tech, was very much in non-technical roles on sales teams. I worked on the sales team at Yelp, where I made 85 cold calls to grumpy small business owners every single day, bugging them for their credit card to buy some ads. Worked on a couple of other sales teams and did some more customer success as well. But it really, really helps to build that empathy, even if it's not directly related to the product that you're working on now. Just like being in that customer kind of facing role, it really, truly makes a difference.
For sure. So tell us a little bit about Notion. I know like when I was doing my research prior to us jumping on the call here, I was able to uncover, you know, all of the different accolades that you guys have had. You are on the Forbes Cloud 100 list. I think believe right in the 40s, which is an amazing ranking. I saw the valuation of a multi-billion dollar company. You guys have just endless opportunities to grow and scale the business. But what do you actually do?
So I guess it's been a really challenging question for us, to be honest, that like, what is Notion question? It's really difficult to describe what we do really succinctly because there is so much that Notion can do. And I think oftentimes I go back to the same metaphor abuse of calling Notion like the Swiss Army knife of software. It really is like an all-in-one tool where you can have your team's like knowledge base or internal wiki. But you can also, on top of that wiki, you can manage your tasks and projects, replacing something like Jira. You can also have your notes and your docs replacing something like Google Docs. And you can have all of those workflows in a single place for your team. But it's worth mentioning too that Notion's a really unique tool, just because around half of our users or more are using Notion in single player mode. A lot of them on our free plan who maybe it's for their journal entries or sharing a grocery list with a spouse, or you think of it like the Evernote or the Apple Notes use case. But you can take that exact same product. It is the same product, and you can take it to work with you. And then all of a sudden, Notion turns from a consumer product into an SMB or an enterprise product. There's a lot of SMBs who use Notion to literally run their entire company. One of our customers was able to cancel 19 software subscriptions when they started using Notion. But then we have huge enterprise clients as well, who are, you know, deploying Notion as their internal wiki across massive teams. So we really are all things to all people. And that's been a blessing and a curse.
I was going to say, that's really interesting, because I think my question I was going to ask is what type of business model you have. And it seems like product-led growth. And PLG is obviously something that's been a hot topic over the last few years. And I'm assuming that's how Notion has seen such exponential growth, specifically on that, like you mentioned with your free users. Is that the primary business model? How do you guys operate?
Certainly. So I think to a very large extent, like you said, like when I first joined the Notion team, there was already so much buzz around the product. When I joined, the conversation was literally like, hey, there's only three people on our support team right now. We need help. We have so many customers. We don't know what to do with all this attention. And in spite of things like valuations or fundraising rounds or awards or this and that, like we have to be laser focused and heads down on the product just to be able to keep up, because the product market fit has been so tight for such a long time. I would definitely call it a product-led business model. But I've actually found it to be very refreshingly kind of straightforward, because we don't sell ads. Every like 100% of our revenue, it all comes from just people paying for subscriptions. And this is my first time working for a SaaS company. So really at the end of the day, it's just a matter of shipping features, telling users about the new features, keeping your ears open for what features they want to see next, and just kind of repeat and repeat. But I think we've seen this same kind of theme over and over again of people typically discover Notion for their own personal use. Just like you said earlier, like you're scrolling through Twitter, you see a lot of people talking about it. You see what it's all about. You start using it for some of your personal organization. But a lot of those folks wind up bringing it to work with them, which is why we made our student plan free. It's why we eventually made our entire personal plan with unlimited storage free. Because in terms of business model, we found that the number one way to get people to sign up for our team plan is just to get people to use the product for their own personal use.
Right. So you have like that viral loop of people going out and either inviting different people that they feel would benefit from a tool like Notion, but also just in general, word of mouth and building that brand and having people sign up on their own. And that's super impactful. And I think that's actually a perfect segue into this next piece about, you mentioned before that your primary goal is to figure out what your users want for features and then bring that to market. So for this podcast, we like to, you know, deconstruct a specific product launch. What was something that you launched recently that spawned from some of the feedback that you got from your customers?
Yeah, so I think the most recent like big launch that we did was the Notion 2.9 release, which included bidirectional links, backlinks, as well as inline page creation, which is being able to very quickly create new pieces of content as you're typing, and just adding a lot of complexity that kind of lives beneath the surface of Notion.
Got it. So what was the inception of that idea? How did that come about?
So I think one, and this kind of occurred to me as I was listening to one of the previous episodes of this podcast, actually, we don't have the luxury of having this like really narrow, like being able to explain what we do in one sentence and having a very narrow kind of field of feature requests. Our feature requests span, I don't know, 15, 30, 50 different use cases. People use Notion for writing novels. People use Notion to manage their Dungeons and Dragons campaigns. People use Notion to run their entire company. And so the feature requests that we receive really truly run the gamut. It's why we don't have a like public feature request area where people can like upvote stuff, because the sheer horizontalness of it is really quite overwhelming. And I think when I first joined the company, we were kind of throwing darts at a dartboard, kind of guessing like, well, this feature request has this number of like, you know, this thing has been requested 500 times, this thing has been requested 200 times, let's build this thing first. But eventually we had to step back and think, what are features that we can build that will benefit not just one use case, but what's a feature that we can build that will lift all boats, no matter what you're using Notion for, whether you're using Notion as an individual on a team, whether it's for the notes use case or for the tasks or project management use case. And we realized bidirectional links has been supported by our architecture since day one. It's been like really baked into Notion. There just wasn't really any UI around it. And we realized that no matter how you were using the product, this would really truly benefit everybody. And so we decided to, build it in.
So when it came to putting together the launch plan for that, what did that look like? Did you leverage any sort of existing framework? Have you guys put something in place at Notion to kind of make this more of a repeatable process?
To be honest, because the marketing team is so young, oftentimes we don't have incredibly sophisticated processes around a lot of this stuff. But in terms of like how we decided to launch it, it was kind of a different launch for us in that half of the features in this 2.9 release, we actually shipped to 100% of our users 2 to 3 weeks early with zero marketing, which made me feel incredibly kind of on edge, like it felt very unnatural. But our CEO, Ivan, who's very, very hands-on and, building right alongside with us, he encouraged me that it's not a thing until marketing says it's a thing, which I was like, okay, if you say so. But, and of course, our most passionate users, of course, they're going to notice a new piece of UI in the product. And of course, they're going to notice a new feature. And of course, there are a few folks who are like, what? There's this new thing and Notion didn't even say anything about it. But what that allowed us to do was to have 2 to 3 weeks of really high quality feedback and bug reports. Our users are very vocal about how they want the product to work. And that let us kind of polish a lot of the rough edges before we gave it that big splashy announcement. And then upon that announcement, we actually shipped additional stuff as well. So it's a really exciting kind of process to see unfold.
That's awesome. And I think that's something that I've seen super valuable in the launch process is decoupling the product launch from the marketing launch. Because then to your point, you can go and you can actually get some feedback. Did you guys think of it as running some sort of beta program or any early access program? Or was it more just the product is ready, we're going to ship it and our power users are going to use it and then we'll engage with them and try to get some feedback?
So as far as beta testing is concerned, we have this group of folks, formerly known as Notion Pros, now have been rebranded as Notion Ambassadors. And it's this group of amazing, incredibly talented folks all around the world who are just Notion super fans. And what they do is prior to COVID times, these were the folks who were organizing meetups in their local communities, holding events for anywhere from 5 to 100 people at a time. These are also folks who help us with translation. We launched in Korea recently. We literally would not have been able to get away with translating the entire product into Korean had it not been for our Notion Pros in Korea. And so another way that they're able to help with the product is by beta testing new features. And so a couple of weeks before the launch, we were able to turn on these features for this relatively large population of literally Notion experts. Like, there are people in this group who know more about the product than people who work for the company. And so they're always an incredible resource to like find every edge case, anything from like really nitty gritty UI feedback all the way to like, hey, I kind of expected for this thing to work in this other way. And a lot of times that feedback has like changed the course of what the product winds up looking like by the time we ship it.
That's really cool. So you have like this army of advocates that are power users, and they're going to give you the feedback that you need prior, well, actually during development process and actually after you ship it to them. So to your point, when you were ready to actually make a big deal about this on the marketing side, did you add a ton back into the product between the product launch versus the marketing launch? Or was it more just, you know, we created some external go-to-market activity and it wasn't really anything additionally that was coming from features?
I don't think there was a lot of additional feature set that was added in that time. It was more like polish and bug fixes and the like, and a couple of like last minute tweaks. But in general, I think the biggest change between the soft launch and the like official public launch was adding additional features, which were a lot more complex than the features that we soft launched. And so I think backlinks, bidirectional links, that was definitely the headline. If I were to like explain the product launch to someone, backlinks was definitely like, okay, I understand that Notion has this new feature now, but there was all these other incredibly complex new workflows that we unlocked in the product. And so figuring out, I know for a fact that all of the power users of the product, Notion's like number one fans, of course they're going to find these new features and they're going to use them. But what about the other 99% of our users? What about the more casual users? How can we teach them to use these to make their workflows better? I think something that I come back to a lot is that I am a complete Slack addict. I must be in the Slack product upwards of 20 or 30 hours a week. I'm one of those people that just has to check every notification the second it comes up. But in spite of all of that, and I consider myself a very tech savvy person, and I love Slack as a product and a brand, but I can't be bothered to look through their release notes. I probably know like 10% of their feature set, to be honest. And it's not out of a lack of interest. And so I think about that a lot when I think about Notion's user base. It's really easy to get distracted by all of the kind of hype, and you take a look through our Twitter feed and there's all this positive feedback around these features. But it's really easy to forget about those other 90% who are using Notion in a team setting. Maybe they don't know how to use the more advanced feature set. You talk to folks on our customer success team, and they talk to a lot of folks who've never made a database in Notion before, which we consider to be like a pivotal part of the product. So when you're crafting all of the messaging around these incredibly complex features, there's always a temptation to really get into the weeds of it because you know that you're talking to that power user. But at the end of the day, the power user is going to figure it out anyway. So figuring out a way to craft that messaging for the more casual user and showing them very, very quickly how this is going to benefit their specific workflow, I think was really important for this release.
Yeah, trying to help your non-power users find the signal through the noise, always incredibly hard to do. And it seems easy, but I mean, no matter how frequent your communication plan is or details your help doc is, you still need to write copy that's going to resonate with them and actually break through and make sense. So when you think about this launch of backlinks, how involved were you early on when it came to actually like the idea that we needed to build this feature all the way up to, okay, we're going to launch this feature. Where did you come into play on bringing this to market?
I think typically I'm kind of looped into those conversations maybe halfway through. Of course, as a result of being a Slack addict, I'm always peeking around all of the engineering channels. So I'm looking at like the technical request for comment docs and like trying to generally keep an eye on like what are people working on. But by the time it comes to that, like, okay, we think that we know what the scope of this feature is going to be. We know the problems that we want to solve through building this feature set. That's when I start to think around a lot of the marketing assets that we need to build out.
Got it. So when you actually go to build out that marketing plan, what types of tools do you use?
I mean, really, it's kind of crazy to me because I really consider myself to be incredibly junior in this role. This is my first time ever working on a marketing team. I don't have any kind of formal training in marketing. And so the result is that I've never known what it's like to be a product marketer without Notion. And we really truly use Notion as our primary tool for all of it. We don't use email as a company unless we're kind of communicating externally. So really everything happens in either Notion, Slack, or sometimes Figma when you start to get into more of the design assets.
Got it. That's really interesting. And I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit. I mean, if you look at what Notion has done over the last few years, let alone the last few months, I mean, I think you're doing something right. So you should definitely give yourself a pat on the back with that.
Hey, you just got to fake it till you make it, you know?
Oh, always. I mean, like that's what everybody's doing to some degree. And at that point, I mean, so when you were putting together the marketing plan, what did that look like in the types of assets that you felt were needed for this launch?
So I think as a result of the marketing team being so small, like I said before, I think it's just 8 full-time folks on the marketing team right now. And each one of those 8 folks is wearing many, many hats. There's a lot of required assets for a lot of these launches. And oftentimes there isn't time for a messaging doc or a like go-to-market plan. It's really just like immediately executing on the things that we need for the launch. So that includes video tutorials on YouTube. It includes public-facing documentation in our help center. It includes the release notes on our What's New page. It includes email marketing. And so I think when we start to realize that release is coming up in the pipeline, it's just immediately pivoting to like, let's start executing against all these things that we need.
And is that everybody on the marketing team, all 8 people are working towards that same goal? Or is it more like you and you're the quarterback and you'll tag in people as you need them?
So I own the like public-facing documentation in the help center. I own the release notes page. I work with an amazing woman in Europe who makes our YouTube videos. But in terms of like the organization of the marketing team, I think it kind of shook out to where I'm actually working with folks on the engineering team just as much as I'm working with folks on the marketing team.
How involved is the engineering team in launching a new product? Is it usually like they obviously are the ones building it, right? But how involved are they in any sort of documentation writing or user training or anything like that?
Honestly, I think our engineering team is incredible. I've never worked with an engineering team as closely as I have at Notion, but I get the impression that like it is not typical to see such a close relationship between engineering and support or engineering and sales or engineering and marketing. So I think when engineers are building out these features, most of our engineers will actually write their own amazing documentation all in Notion about every anticipated FAQ. Here's how it works. Here's what's changing. Our engineers will attend our support team meetings to do like a full demo of the feature. There's definitely a really tight relationship there in terms of like the engineer who built the feature themselves. And oftentimes it's really kind of one engineer who's like owning their feature. They're the ones who are really getting the team really hyped up, which goes back to another point that I've been thinking a lot about from this podcast is this idea of like internal marketing, which as a result of being on a really super tiny team at Notion for a long time is not something that I've really thought a lot about. But the more I think about it, I'm like, well, we do have a sales team now. We do have a customer success team now. We have a support team. And like, it's worth investing the time in internal marketing.
For sure. So when you thought about this launch, how did you go about setting goals for it? Is that something that you guys do on a regular basis? Are there canned KPIs that you're looking at every launch? How did that work?
Again, I don't think that we've, I think it's a muscle that we're still continuing to build out. Like the marketing team in general is a year and a half old period with like marketing employee number one. So even going through the motions of doing OKRs and quarterly goals is all very new to us. And I think velocity is very important to us too. So after we ship something, our attention is very quickly pivoting to like, what's the next thing that we're going to build? Our competition is extreme. Our competition is fierce. We are competing against a lot of folks who have a heck of a lot more engineers than we do, who are also shipping at a very fast cadence. So if anything, in terms of like what post-launch looks like, of course, we'll do a post-mortem. And of course, we keep an eye on dashboards to see if folks are successfully using the feature. But I think to a very large extent, because we have such a vocal user base, we have a Reddit with 60,000 members, for example. Our Twitter page, sometimes Twitter has like a limit on how far back the mentions tab can go. Sometimes that maxes out. Like our community is very, very vocal about what they think about the product. So it gives us a really unusual advantage of being able to very quickly get sentiment about, do folks like the new feature or not? And then move on to the next thing.
Right. So rather than trying to, you know, have a dashboard set up or look at a spreadsheet and dissect what's going on, it's pretty apparent just based on the feedback that you're getting from customers, whether that's them responding to your emails or them at mentioning you guys on Twitter, and to a point where you can't even see what like the last, I don't know, 3 months, 6 months even looked like.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's, I've never seen that before. I've never even heard of that before. That's awesome that you actually have that loyalty from your customer base, because obviously that's probably one of your sales team's biggest assets that they have at their disposal, is all of this social proof that you can go back and reference as a product marketer and use to say like, hey, yeah, all of these people really love our product, and here are all these different use cases that you can talk about with your prospects.
Yeah, I think something that I'm always trying to instill in the team is like, listen, guys, there's other SaaS tools out there where if you're trying to solicit feedback from users, you have to like send out an email and bribe people with like a $50 Amazon gift card. Like, please give us feedback. Please tell us what you think. We don't have that problem. We have the opposite problem. We have a tidal wave of feedback every single day. We get thousands of feature requests every single day. And so it's really, really important for us to keep our ears completely wide open.
Right. A lot of mouths to feed, but you guys are doing clearly an amazing job at that. When it came to actually communicating this release to your users, how did that work? What types of mediums did you choose, or what was your channel strategy?
So I think out of every release that I've worked on, this particular backlinks and inline page creation release was by far the most cerebral and the most like abstract, and even like writing the copy of like explaining how the thing works. Like you're sitting in front of your computer, like, how do I put this thing into words? Like, you know, create a page that lives somewhere else in your workspace that creates a link on the page that you're currently on, but you can also nest within the current page or another page. And it gets very in the weeds very quickly. And the terminology becomes really difficult. You'll have to bear with me for a second, but I thought of this analogy that I think about really often. San Diego, kind of greater San Diego area where I grew up, there was this store called Lone Flag, which was like a menswear, men's fashion kind of lifestyle home goods kind of store. But it wasn't in any like trendy part of San Diego. It was in Del Mar, which is kind of sleepy, kind of old money. But it was a really cool store, and San Diego doesn't really have much of a menswear, men's fashion scene. So for maybe a 100-mile radius in every direction, they were really the only store that carried a lot of these brands, $200 denim, et cetera. And so one time I went in the store, I asked the owner, like, why did you choose this location? Like, why aren't you in like a nice part of San Diego? Why aren't you in LA? Why Del Mar? And he explained to me the reason is those folks who are already incredibly familiar with what you do, those folks who like know what brands to look for, they will come to you no matter what. So he has customers who drive to his store from all over the greater San Diego area because they know that it's the only place where they can find a specific brand. But a lot of his business actually comes from folks who are just kind of wandering around Del Mar. They have a lot of money. They wander into the store and then they buy a ton of stuff. And I think about that really often because as it pertains to this backlinks release and kind of bringing it back, those folks, like I said before, those power users, they will figure out how to use it no matter what. So when I'm crafting messaging, when I'm explaining how to use the feature, I can't talk to that person because I'm gonna alienate the other 95% of our users. And so really trying to dial back the level of complexity in the messaging and keeping in mind that person, like the Slack user like me, who's just you know, using Notion casually, taking some meeting notes, maybe managing a couple of tasks and writing the messaging to them, not the power user, even though it seems to be this like very quintessential power user feature. Instead, in most of our channels, I really wanted to talk to that more casual Notion user and explain to them, here's how this feature will make your workflows better.
Right, because you want to be able to convert that passive user into one of those power users eventually. You can't be too specific to a point where, like you were mentioning, alienating those other people so that they won't even, you know, look or read or resonate with what you're writing.
Right.
So what did post-launch look like?
Like I said before, post-launch is very much like quickly pivoting onto the next project. I think we saw a lot of good feedback around how users are using the features. And again, going back to the Notion ambassadors, I can only craft so many like example workflows to demonstrate, and like whether it's like teaching users how to use the feature through a tweet or two, or trying to make a really nice GIF for our help center, trying to explain how the new thing works on the What's New page. I can only craft so many like hypothetical scenarios. But then once it's been out in the wild for a couple weeks, then you go on YouTube and see like, oh wow, people are really figuring out how to really get like suck the marrow out of these features that we put out into the world and using it in ways that I didn't even really think about. And so figuring out not only how do we from our own accounts, from our own, from the brand itself, how do we remind users that these new features exist, but how do we amplify a lot of the content that our community is creating? Because oftentimes I think that's so much more impactful. And a narrative that we've heard over and over and over again, and that I've seen both on my time in Notion's community team and from managing the Twitter account, you hear the same story over and over of like, hey, I downloaded Notion. I saw people talking about it on Twitter. I don't really get it. I don't really know what it's for. Seems kind of complicated. I stopped using it. But then on my second or third try, I saw this YouTube video of XYZ person. I saw their dashboard that they set up. I saw how they use it to make their life better. And then it clicked for me. And now I'm, you know, a huge, huge advocate of the brand. And I tell every single person that I know about Notion. Oftentimes that doesn't come from our YouTube videos. Oftentimes that doesn't come from our marketing. It comes from seeing a real person saying, I have this problem and here's how I use Notion to solve it. So I can only do so much in terms of how I'm showing our users how the feature will benefit their lives. But we have this huge platform now, and we have this huge community that we're incredibly lucky to have of all these Notion ambassadors and folks who are creating a lot of content around the product. So figuring out how do we amplify those voices and how do we make their content more visible?
I think that's a huge, huge benefit to you guys. That's a weapon that you guys can pull out. And basically what you're doing is crowdsourcing all of your use cases. And I saw a really good example of that on Zeppelin's website. They have a community that basically took their product and built out different either frameworks, or I'm not really sure the right terminology to use, but it was really cool because they had a landing page dedicated exactly to that so that people could go and figure out how other Zeppelin users are using it and that they can incorporate that into what they're doing. So I think that's a secret weapon that you guys can leverage for every launch moving forward, and just to get general product feedback without having to go and ask all these people to take the time out of their day to do it, even because they're doing it already.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a competitive advantage for us. I know that it's not normal for a SaaS company to have all of these resources available, a huge community of power users, a tidal wave of feedback every single day. So because we have those things, we have to take advantage of it.
Yeah, that's amazing. So what would you say was the biggest challenge that you had throughout this entire process?
I mean, like you said before, figuring out how to tailor the messaging to the channel was really challenging. Again, not tailoring the messaging to the power user, but I think Twitter was an exception to that. Twitter is where we're most active. Twitter is where a lot of the discourse takes place. So figuring out how do we explain these really cerebral features in a way that folks will understand and immediately figure out how it will benefit their workflows. But how can we do that with like slightly more detail on Twitter versus on LinkedIn, for example, or Instagram, really, really zooming out and saying, hey, if you use Notion for meeting notes or, you know, XYZ very straightforward use case, here's how backlinks will make that easier. So figuring out what's the perfect messaging for each channel I think in a previous episode of this podcast, someone was talking about needing to have like a consistent message instead of like writing a new headline for every channel, which is a trap that I've fallen into a few times and something that I'm definitely keeping top of mind for future launches. But for this particular one, because it was so complex, you really did have to have slightly different language for each and every channel.
Yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense. And to your point, like if you can basically save yourself the time of trying to reinvent the wheel for every single audience, every single channel, and just have a consistent message, it's going to just work so much better and make your launch process way more fluid.
Yeah, absolutely.
As a first-time product marketer, somebody who's been doing this for about a year now, what would be the biggest piece of advice to somebody who is going to be tackling their first launch or somebody who's also in a first-time product marketing role?
I would say it's okay to ask for help. I think oftentimes in the product marketing role, because the work that you do is so, so visible, oftentimes I feel a lot of pressure, like this is my chance. You know, most of the month I'm just sitting in front of my computer working on this asset or that asset, but like launch day is like, that's my opportunity to like make an impression and to really show that I can do this. But I think if you put too much pressure on yourself, like you're not gonna nail the first one. So I think really not being shy about raising your hand and asking for help, whether it's from your head of marketing or your CEO or someone who you know for a fact like writes really good copy. And if you don't come from a customer success or a sales background, like definitely go and put some time, not only on like one person's calendar from the support team, but like try and crash their like weekly meeting, because there's no one at the entire company who will be better equipped to anticipate every single FAQ, every single edge case, the words that people use to describe these features, the words that make people super confused. There's no one who's better equipped to help you with those things than the folks who are sitting in that support seat and closing a high volume of tickets every single day. So definitely loop those people into the process.
That's really good advice. Well, David, thank you so much for jumping on the podcast today. I have learned a ton about Notion. I know that I'm a huge fan on the outside looking in. I know you guys are going to continue to do amazing things. So again, can't thank you enough for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
And hey, I'm a fan of this podcast. I've already learned so much from the episodes that I've listened to so far. And I'm just really excited as a brand new product marketer to have this resource, especially since I don't have other product marketing folks at Notion to bounce ideas off of. I'm just thrilled to be a part of this community and really flattered to be on the show.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that as well. All right, I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Getting to Market. If you like today's show, hit the subscribe button and tune in every Thursday to hear from more marketing pros on how they run their product launches. I'll see you on the next episode.